fisted toward right. Look at that ball carry.
Andy not around?
It doesn't look like he's on. He said he was going to be. Let me see.
Yeah. Can never trust that guy anyway.
He's a bastard.
Son of a bitch.
Tony Campana. That's the news. That's the biggest news.
That's the big news right there. Nailed it.
I'm going to eat licorice until we actually start recording, just for the record.
So is it actual licorice? Is it hardcore black licorice? Or is it...
Nope. It is... candy-coated Trader Joe's licorice that my mom got me for Valentine's Day because I don't have a Valentine.
Aww. Poor Mikey.
Kyle took me to see Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, or whatever. A Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I didn't think it was as bad as the reviews are saying.
I didn't, walking out, I didn't think it was as bad as the reviews were saying.
I mean, it's bad, but...
Yeah, that's more to the point. It's like I tweeted out, I said, you know, as a Die Hard movie, it's a great Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, and I hate Jason Statham movies.
Well, see, exactly. You know, yeah, I mean, it's...
That's like, kind of true.
It's kind of the transporter, you know?
Yeah, and man, I really do not like Jason Statham for some reason.
Like, you're just... anti-Anglophile.
Oh, he's just... ugh. He bugs... I think he thinks he's more badass than he is, and, like,
yeah,
he's just not my type of action star.
I don't really have a problem with him, but I never... I mean, I've seen him, obviously, and, I mean, he's been in, like, every movie ever, so right. I've seen him a few times. I do not... Like, for instance, I haven't... I don't seek out the Transporter sequels or the what's the one where he like has to jumpstart his heart or something? I never saw any of those.
Oh shit! It's a five letter
crank.
Crank. Yeah, I knew it. I was gonna say crunch.
Close enough. Never saw any of those. So yeah, if. I thought he was good in a couple of things. I thought he was good in the two Guy Ritchie movies he made. Never saw the third one, the Layer Cake or whatever.
I heard that one was actually good.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like Guy Ritchie's return from sucking.
What two other ones were
he in? Snatch and Lockstock.
Oh, he was in both those?
Yeah, he was Turkish in Snatch. I don't remember the name of the character in
Lockstock.
Lockstock.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen those. Yeah, I enjoyed both of those.
Those are really good.
Yeah. Although, to be honest with you, I saw Snatch when I was exhausted in the theater and fell asleep in the theater, but not intentionally. I never went back and watched it again. But I was enjoying it.
Oh, just really?
Exhausted. And I love Lockstock.
That was a movie that wound up getting replayed, you know, endlessly when I was in college. You know, there was always when I was over at my brother's house and or whatnot, he always had either that playing or what was the name of that Mel Gibson movie where he plays the bad guy? But I mean, he's the protagonist, but he's the bad guy. You know, he's a bad guy, but he's the main character. I can't. What the hell's the name of it? Payback.
Oh yeah,
those movies for whatever reason were like on loop at my brother's house. So
Payback. I think Payback was one of the very first DVDs I bought.
Yeah, I think it might have been the same with my brother. I don't know. I didn't really start buying DVDs until much later.
It was around that time period though that I first got my first DVD player. That it was. By the way, is my sound quality better? I'm actually back on a computer instead of a tablet or phone.
Yes, okay, good. Great. Actually, it's, oh, look who's decided to show up.
All right. Do you guys start without me?
No, I'll be right back. I mean, literally, my stupid other dog. I just let out my one dog. This one didn't want to go out. Now he wants to go out because the other one just came back in.
I don't know. I think we kind of started already. So even if Mike's not here, we already did... Already did 3 or 4 minutes without Andy, so. So no Tony Campana. That's our big news that we're leading with, I guess.
I might do this entire thing eating licorice.
kind of like, oh, who the hell is it? Well, I guess Harry used to do everything.
Oh, Santo used to eat like people heroes.
His tongue, mostly.
So I found $220 tickets to go to flights to Mesa to go to spring training.
Nice.
I'm kind of tempted because at 30 I did Cooperstown, and I feel like at 35 I should make like a 5-year baseball things I want to do tradition shit.
You can go. No, definitely. You can stay with my in-laws.
Oh yeah, thanks.
They live in Tempe.
Oh. You can stay with my brother's in-laws.
Wait, thanks for the offers, guys.
No, actually, it's my brother's sister-in-law, and she's pretty fun. So,
she cute?
But no, I don't think she would. Yeah. Well, I don't want to know about that.
Wait, is she the one that's married into the family, or is she?
No, she's his wife's sister.
Oh, how old is she?
20-something.
Done.
Probably 10 years younger than you, but she's got a boyfriend who is, by the way, a real, an honest-to-God Diamondbacks fan.
Rodeo cowboy?
Oh. Yeah, entirely possible. I don't know. I've never met the guy, but he is, like, he grew up a Diamondbacks fan. Like,
well, he's probably online buying his Campana jersey right now.
He probably is. According to my brother, he's a good guy. We could maybe get him on the podcast to talk to us about a Diamondbacks fan's perspective.
Yeah, because what we need on this podcast is one more person that people have never heard of.
Right? Yeah. Why not? Isn't that the way to SEO gold?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably don't even sell official Tony Campana jerseys. They're only jerseys, Dolan.
I think that's the one they gave him.
Yeah. It's a child small.
Yeah. What number is he? He's 7/8.
Yeah. It's a child small, and his hat is an adult double XL. Or an 8.5-inch, whatever. However they measure hats nowadays.
It's weird because I mean, I actually wear an 8 1/8.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, I have a massive.
You are a monster.
God. I kind of am.
Even Bruce Bochy just went, shit, that's a big head.
Have you been on the HGH for long?
Yeah. Last 10 years. I don't know. It's all gone to my ass. I don't know what the hell's going on. The way they measure is actually from like between your eyes to like the back of your head, like over the crown, like over the top.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I never. They wrapped like a tape measure around your.
No, that's what I thought, and then I went to measure like when I was trying to buy a hat because it's impossible.
Well, maybe that's how they measured you because they couldn't go around.
They didn't have enough ribbon to wrap around my head. Yeah, but that was the thing. It's like I measured around, you know, like around my head. I'm like, Jesus, it's like I don't. There's no way I wear a size 25. You know?
I'm picturing these people dressing you as like a scene, Sputnik. Like a scene from Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Well, I also have a size 16 shoe. So.
Well, that's awesome.
You know what they say about a man with big shoes?
He has big feet underneath him.
Got big feet.
You think he did it the other way around?
Shit.
Well, he told us his shoe size.
Big feet have. Oh. Good point.
God damn it.
I guess I botched that one, guys.
I liked how I think I know Gordon did it, and I think Sullivan did it too. I like Campana circled May 31st on his schedule because that's when the Diamondbacks face the Cubs. He's not going to be on the team. He's going to be in triple or double A probably. He's terrible.
Wait a minute. Who did that?
Sullivan.
Sullivan and Gordon both, I think, made reference to when the Diamondbacks and Cubs play.
God damn it, Sullivan.
Because Tony's all excited about coming back and playing him, but he's not going to actually be on the team.
No. And let's disinvite Sullivan. Let's rescind our upcoming invitation to him for being on this podcast because that is a ridiculous comment.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset. Tony's the only guy on the team he could see eye to eye with. Now he's gone.
You're on a roll.
I feel bad making fun of Sully's height because seeing as I've never met the man. Yeah. Well, actually, I shouldn't say I feel bad.
Once you meet him, you won't feel bad about it anymore.
Sullivan could walk between your legs. without ducking.
You may have. Maybe you could have met him, but he was elusive between your legs.
That's a lot of things are elusive down there.
Oh, God.
And
how you guys been?
I've been good.
Good.
How have you been?
I've been good. Can't complain. I don't know. Not a whole lot has happened in Cub World. Oh, the bunting tournament. Theo Epstein eliminated Jed Hoyer. That was exciting.
Come from behind.
I cannot believe that this is covered.
That is pretty stupid.
It's so stupid. Like, I get that it's spring training and there's not a lot of stories, but it is just really dumb to be covering a bunting tournament with pictures and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Kerry tweeted out today just the bracket.
Yeah, she did.
So, because there are dumbasses who will actually sit and fill it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's people betting on it, I'm sure. There's got to be some bookie somewhere putting money on something.
Well, I would bet. I mean, Vegas will bet on everything, right? Like, I'd say there's probably Vegas out.
Well, you'll find someplace somewhere that will.
Wow, that's sad. Hmm. Who do you guys got in the bunting tournament?
Dempster. Oh, wait. Probably I'll go with DeJesus.
He won last year, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Yes. I don't actually.
Is Lendy Castillo in it?
Is Darwin Barney still in it, or is he eliminated? Because I would take Barney.
I don't know. Does he have really? I mean, is he a bat control guy?
Well,
he should make himself.
He takes full swings.
He should totally. Just boom! Just nails it. Gets it right
in the all the way to the mound. I got a hold of that one. Darwin Barney all winter.
Well, you need a little more helium then.
Yeah, you good shit. Good munchkin voice.
We represent the lollipop guild.
You hear Starlin Castro, his goal for this year is to win the gold glove.
And to not molest a 20-year-old. That should be another goal of his.
Yeah, no, it was Marmol's turn this year. So.
Yeah. that's just a shame.
And then he thinks Rizzo should also win one. So three quarters of the infield. I don't know why he left Louie out of the mix, but
well, because he'll win the other six.
That's right. He'll be so versatile, he will win
there you go.
Multiple gold gloves this year.
Well, apparently you don't actually have to play the position to win a gold glove at it, because as Rafi Palmeiro proved in 2001 or whatever it was.
Dolan, the real key, the real reason that Louis's not going to win one is because Ian Stewart is getting tips from Rod Carew. So he will be back, and he will hit 350.
How to play third base left-handed.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the connection there. But, hey, it's better than getting advice from, like, Dale Swaim.
Yeah, probably.
I think,
you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Dale Swaim go quail hunting with Dick Cheney. That would be...
Yeah, fight to the death.
I don't.
Not a quail would be shot that day.
No.
Well, now to be fair to the Gold Glove voters, in 1999, Palmeiro did only make one error at first base. He only played 28 games there, but he only made one error.
Yeah.
There you go. What is that even? I guess that's only like about five or six error season averaged out.
Yeah, but at first base.
They were just projecting it out. They knew how good he would have been had the Rangers actually chosen to play him there.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't.
Yeah.
Now what, we should do some kind of segment on what are the dumbest, because I don't want to just limit it down to dumb. What are the dumbest Cub fans worried about right now? because they got a lot to worry about. They're worried about Tony Campana being the next Lou Brock. That's pretty high on their list. They're worried about the Cubs not being on WGN TV because they would never be able to see them if they were on a channel other than that. Right.
Steve Clevenger's playing time.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Clevenger.
Actually, there are Cub fans who are worried that the Cubs don't have a second first baseman on their team. Because really, you should have a guy on the bench who can only play first base.
DeAndre Navarro, hasn't he logged significant time at first base anyhow? I don't know.
I don't know about significant. They said all the catchers could play first
base. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Even if he did play a lot there, it wouldn't have been significant.
Yeah, that's true.
Get it?
Yes.
Good to know.
I don't get that. Could you explain that?
Sure. It's the key to comedy. Making sure everyone knows exactly what you're talking about.
Explain your jokes thoroughly.
DeAndre Navarro has never played a single game at first base at the major league level.
Good. Good job.
For the record.
So that's you're welcome, guys. There is some significance to that.
Yeah.
So no, not him, I guess.
Okay, by the way, since we're on catchers, and I would just like to point out that Wellington Castillo's nickname from some of the Cubs blogosphere as Beef Castle is stupid. And I hate it.
Beef Castle.
I hate everyone that uses it. I'm sorry if you're listening and you use it. You need to be more clever.
Beef Castle.
Wellington Castillo has played one game in his major league career at first base.
Oh, wait, didn't Clevenger
play? Zero chance. Oh, Clevenger definitely did. But I don't think he's going to make the team.
He
probably
won't. He's only a bus ticket away. I mean, that's the thing people worry about. If a guy gets hurt, you do get to fly somebody in. You know, you only have to cover for that game.
And not just that. I'm guessing Brian Lehair would get on the next plane out of Japan if he had to.
Yeah, the jet lag would kill him.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I would guess Louis would be the emergency first baseman. He seems to be the
Or move Louis to third and move over to first.
What's his fuck?
Ian Stewart.
And I think it's going to catch on.
It probably will.
Better than Beef Castle. Well, okay. So since Rizzo got called up, he only didn't play. August 19th at Cincinnati, Lehair got the start. August 29th versus Milwaukee, Lehair got a start. What the hell? Wednesday, September 12th at Houston, Wrecker got a start at first base. And then Wrecker? Anthony Wrecker?
The guy who used to play for Indiana?
Yes. And then the last game of the season, Lehair got a start so they could bid him adieu.
Actually, I actually remember why Rizzo looked like he got really hurt in a game against the Astros when somehow Brett Wallace kicked him in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sure he missed the next day, but then it turned out it wasn't serious. So that's probably why whoever that was.
I'm so glad he missed the next day because Dusty Baker is no longer the manager. So he actually sat the next day, even if he was like, I'm okay to go, Skip. And Swaim was smart enough to be like, you know what? Why don't you just have a seat, kid? You've played pretty much every game since you've been called up.
You know what? We've already lost 100 games.
I would guess the Wrecker guy, they just got him out of the crowd. Anybody want to play first today? I do. All right, good.
Here's your jersey.
Oh, well, you probably don't need one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
Have either of
what
you...
else?
I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it. One of you doesn't even own a television, I don't think.
I have a TV. It's not hooked up to anything.
Have either of you seen the MLB Network reality show, The Next Knuckler?
I have not.
I saw.
I'm really hoping for Flutie.
I saw an ad for it, but no.
Five former college quarterbacks, including the Booty Brothers, and they're teaching them how to throw a knuckleball. And one of them is going to get, I believe, to try out for the Diamondbacks because. The Diamondbacks obviously will take anybody. They're trading for midgets. I actually like the show, even though, well, Kevin Millar is on it, so that makes it almost completely intolerable. But thankfully, they don't let him do much. Hmm. Tim Wakefield is teaching them how to throw the knuckleball. I'm convinced from watching the show, I could now throw a knuckleball and pitch in the big leagues. Just from watching. Like, oh, this looks easy. I could do that.
I think the winner should be allowed to face Adam Greenberg in a single at-bat.
Oh, tie it together. Glorious.
The one of the guys is Ryan Perilou. He played at LSU, and then he flunked out of LSU.
Oh, oh man.
Do that.
Good Lord.
He ended up at Jacksonville State. That dude is a seriously great athlete, and I honestly think a team is going to sign him and try to make a real pitcher out of him. I'll bet he throws 95 miles an hour. He throws the knuckleball in the 80s. He loves to hit. Like in every show, for somehow he's dug in and gotten some at bats, and he's hit a home run, I think, in every single episode.
Well, off of Tim Wakefield, though, because that's not really a high bar to clear.
Isn't Wakefield like 65 now?
Yep. That's why he's retiring.
But he makes up for it by he's fat now, too.
Wow.
Everyone
he never did have a chin, so.
The MLB Network adds the standard 10 pounds for cameras plus another 20.
Just for the HD.
Except for Harold Reynolds. But he's too busy chasing around interns. That's how he keeps his.
Yeah, that's up. Where it was. Yeah.
He's just taking him to Boston Market and hugging him for way too long.
He's the Lance of the MLB Network.
MLB Network announced today that Daryl Hamilton is going to be another one of their analysts. And Craig Calcaterra from the Hardball Talk blog counted how many former players they have on staff. He's the 15th. They have 15.
They're building a good team.
I was going to say, they just need 10 more in there, you know.
Actually, I actually like most of them.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Manuel is a functional retard.
Jerry Manuel, did you say?
Yes, Jerry Manuel. I don't like Harold. I think he's a nice guy, but he's a terrible analyst. The stuff he says is just so wrong and so dumb. And
yeah, I mean, it's wrong, but and obviously I haven't seen him on the MLB Network too much other than friends' houses.
Sure, he's
I always liked him. Yeah, I always liked him on Baseball Tonight. I always thought he was funny. I didn't think that he offered much in terms of actual content, but he seemed, you know.
I did too, but I think because on Baseball Tonight he was the tallest midget because that staff was terrible. Like he was the most tolerable one on a bad Baseball Tonight staff. But when you like Mitch Williams is actually tolerable. Like I and Dan Plesac now he doesn't do the annoying Cubs shtick isn't that bad. And like Reynolds and I like always liked what's his name the show guy Viscurgeon's good and the guy the other young guy who does a lot of the hosting.
Greg Anfinger.
Yes, I think he's fine. And now Reynolds kind of stands out a little bit. But I do love Reynolds and Plesac's reaction to the game 160 or game 162, not this past season, but the season 2011 season in the studio. It was really cool. I mean, you could tell that the guys are just big baseball fans still. Yeah, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Speaking of ex-players turned announcers, did you read that about DeRosa? Like they had actually offered him the job before Deshaies took it?
I knew they did. I said that on this podcast. Don't you listen to our podcast?
Well, I thought you were. I realized you had said that. I thought you were just
I pulled it out of my ass, but I was sure that happened.
Yeah. Well, it was true. Yeah. But then he decided he wanted to try and play or whatever it passes for playing for him.
Now, are we sure?
One more season.
Are we sure Whitmire didn't just listen to the podcast, pick up Dolan's wild speculation and report it? Because he has definitely been less responsible with his reporting than that in the past. So he once did I tell you at the Cubs convention a couple of years back, he said that I have the exact same responsibility as he does to report accurately. And so I'm like, okay, Gordon Whitmire, let's both tweet out the same rumor that Alfonso Soriano got traded and see who gets fired for it. He was not, and then he just turned as red could get.
Yeah.
His eyes got all pink. They're always that way. I'm going to duck after I say this. I actually think DeRosa, he's obviously going to be an analyst. I think he's going to be
Stop good. It.
I think he'll be good.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think he'll be. Let's set the bar at Mark Grace. I think he'll be better than that, probably.
Well, okay, yeah.
He'll be sober at like a third as much. No, a third more. Ah, never mind.
Third, whatever.
Take that out.
He'll be drunk a third as much.
Mark the tape. You got to edit that.
Yeah, I used to do that.
That's not like anybody's listening.
Yeah, yeah. In reality, I'm going to post this tonight. We're going to sign off. We're going to say goodbye. 10 minutes later, it's going to be
live.
On the internet.
I would do these live.
I think we should. I think we should do a Google Hangout one time live, and it'd be really weird.
Ooh, and the people can see us.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. Yeah, I'd have to hook up my. Nobody wants to see me. Jesus.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to see any of us, but it'd be fun because then they could sort of interact, and I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Put it on our to-do list.
To do.
Right after Andy buys a new microphone. They can go on
the list. Yeah, there you go.
Getting right on that.
I was going to buy a new microphone, and then our tax returns came back, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm not buying anything for a while. We owed money this year, and it was more than we were expecting.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to owe. That's why I'm putting it off.
You don't have to. It's more of a suggestion.
Well, I don't
think you really have to pay. It's the amount of money the government would like.
I'm using Dusty Baker's accountant, so I feel like this will all work out in my favor at some point.
Yeah, we owed so much that we also owed, I think it was like a $400 penalty for not paying enough, which we got waived, but because they felt sorry for us for the other amount that we owed. But yeah, luckily we hadn't spent all that money. But it was disappointing to say the least.
Why did you guys owe so much? Are you an independent contractor? Or?
No, I hadn't adjusted my withholding.
Oh.
And when my wife got her job a year ago, and then she made almost exactly to the penny double what I made. Mm. So
you told me that your wife is incredibly withholding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so basically me claiming her as a dependent just didn't work. didn't work so well. Because she was A, no longer in school, and then B.
Well, I'll give you guys a tax tip, but it's never failed for me. I use TurboTax, and it computes your score, you know, either how much you're going to get back, how much you're going to pay, up in the upper right-hand corner. And I just keep figuring, I keep changing numbers until I get a nice high green score. And then I turn that in.
Yeah.
But then I use TurboTax too. And at the end, it's like, but you own your own small business and you are at high risk of audit. And I'm like, I don't want to get audited and lose my license.
Oh, see, I buy that audit. You can buy the audit insurance from them where they'll defend you. And I want the TurboTax lawyers because I know those guys are going to be good. I'll gladly pay that $29.
Woo!
Look at me. Excuse me, Mr. Revenue Agent. My TurboTax attorney is he's going to Skype in here. And he's
Mr. John TurboTax. From TurboTax and Associates.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that just trusts TurboTax implicitly, because that's I'm like, oh, they'll certainly find all these deductions for me.
We do too. Yeah.
So, Dolan, you finished your P90X cycle. Let's talk about it. How do you feel? Are you ripped now? Do you have a six pack?
I am. I'm so ripped. It's really
better. He has a keg.
Here, I gotta ask this, Dolan. And then I won't belabor P90X that much, but our only one listener is also doing it, so he'll find this interesting. Can you do, after 13 weeks, can you successfully do the sequence with Warrior 3, Half Moon, Twisting Half Moon, without putting your leg down?
I can, but I have to use a yoga block.
I use a yoga block, and I still can't do it.
And I have to stand it up long weights.
Okay. All right.
But if I do that,
what the hell is a yoga block?
It's like a brick, but it's soft.
It's a foam brick. So you don't have to reach down as far. If I do that, I can keep my leg up the whole time. Otherwise, I can't. And when you go, you know, when you're done then, and he says, now gently put your leg back on the ground.
Fall.
Oh, my God. My legs are like, they're like, why did you do that to us? And I'm just a heap.
So
then you have to do, now we've got two sides. Let's do the other one.
Yeah. Oh, I love there's after the exercise before that, he's like, you survived that side. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I did not survive that side at all. So, Dolan, I went to get a yoga block finally, only because of that sequence we're talking. I had to up my weights only because of lawnmowers and heavy pants. Yep. So just basically for two exercises. And then I had to buy a yoga block solely for like the Warrior 3 sequence. And
it's like I understand the words, but the order they're coming out in makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yoga people will sort of understand. So lawnmower is basically you're like in a lunge and you're just pulling kind of up. It's basically like doing a pull up, but
okay.
And then heavy.
And what are heavy pants?
Heavy pants. So like imagine yourself pulling up your pants with just weights in both hands, like sort
and
of.
And he very gleefully yells, "Pull them up! Pull your pants up!"
So but I went to Target to get a yoga block, and there was two options. There was like this very manly looking cork brown yoga block.
That's what I have
for $20. And then there was a just neon pink yoga block for $10. And I'm like, well, I'm like, this is
no gonna see
no
me.
One's going to see me doing it. So I have a very, very feminine yoga block that I'm quite proud of. Oh, then the other question I was going to ask you. Oh, I can't think of it now, but it'll come back to me. There was one other question. There's one other exercise. Oh, how many pull-ups? Have you gotten any better at pull-ups?
Yes, I've gotten better. I'm still not great.
I'm terrible.
And I do some of them. I bought the perfect pull-up. It's that bar. You can swing it down, and you can do the Australian ones.
What are the
where you just you lean back. You get all your weight off.
Oh.
You're basically doing them. You're doing them reverse almost. And I do a lot of those. But I try to do one out of every sequence. Real ones.
Okay. See, I've been.
I'm a lot better, but I'm still not.
This entire cycle, I did real ones, but my numbers sucked. So I think when I restart, which is what you did, I know. When I restart P90, I'm gonna use a chair because like it sucks doing like six of them and being like, and they're like going for like a minute and a half doing pull-ups.
Yep, that's what I hate. I walk back to where I can see the TV, and they're still.
Yep. You
know, there's and I look nuts. And there's a minute left.
Yeah.
I'm like, I guess I'll go write this down now. I don't think it'll take me a minute.
I'll drink some water. Shake it out. Do some static ballistic stretching. It's the bladdock stretching. All right, I'm done with peanut discussion.
I finished on a Wednesday. Thursday night, I went to Culver's and ate my weight in all the food I had eaten, and then started a new sequence on Friday.
So. Wait, are you doing? Are you also doing the diet?
Not their diet. I cut a lot of crap out.
Good move. So did you measure? Did you do before and after? Did you measure yourself? Did you lose a lot? No, me neither.
I lost 25 pounds, but I didn't measure anything.
Did you really? Good for you.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe I should do that because since my wife started her job, I've put on 25 pounds.
Well, doing P90 on and off since for like 2 years, I lost 35 total.
Well,
and I definitely feel more fit. I can actually walk up the stairs without getting winded.
Yeah, because technically I should be like around 220 should be my fighting weight. And I'm back up around 250, 260, somewhere around there.
Now you can just fight bigger guys.
Yeah, apparently. You know, I don't know. that doesn't appeal to me. So I want to get back down to the smaller guys.
Well, congratulations, Dolan. I'm like 3 or 4 days behind you. I just did Kempo, which is like day 3 of last week.
I find it weird that you end on that on the rest week.
Yeah,
I feel like you actually did all the work, and then you've got another week of that stuff, and then you're finally done.
Yeah, yeah. The rest week has been kind of it's hard to get motivated for it because I feel like I should just be relaxing and eating Cheetos. Well, Dolan, go ahead.
No. Moment has passed. Go on.
Well, Dolan, if you want, I might actually reward myself by, I don't know how this is a reward, but by going to spring training this year, if you want to meet me.
I would if I hadn't just spent all our money to move into a house.
Oh yeah, congratulations.
Actually, we
Are you actually in or
No. This is we're moving in phases.
That's always pleasant.
On Saturday, we're getting a U-Haul, even though I'm not going to lie. I'd say in the last 3 weeks, we've gotten 30 inches of snow, so this is going to be a lot of fun. we're getting a U-Haul, and we're moving like all the non-furniture ourselves. And then
And
then next Friday, the movers are moving the rest of the stuff. I don't want to get into the logic of hiring movers and moving some of the stuff yourself, but that's what...
Wait, there's so many things that are reverse logic on that. First of all, when you get a U-Haul, you're supposed to move all the shit, the furniture shit. That's the whole point of getting a U-Haul, or else you just take multiple trips in cars, like boxes.
Yeah, it would be a lot of trips.
Okay, yeah, no, I've always been... I once moved literally...
Besides U-Hauls.
I want to say it was like 2 miles, and we got a U-Haul to do it. Yeah.
Secondly, though... The you're going to move all your stuff into the place and have nowhere to put it. You move the furniture first, and then you can live there and bring your stuff over. I used to move furniture for like 6 years, 7 years. So I'm just telling you, you're doing it exactly wrong in every conceivable way.
But I'm not going to disagree.
But you got outvoted. Is that what we're?
Yeah, I got outvoted 1-1.
Can I point out to you a third reason that this is so wrong, Dolan? You know how much the movers are gonna—they're gonna love you moving out of the house, but they're gonna fucking hate you moving in when there's boxes everywhere. Like, and they can't—they're trying to move a couch and like avoiding pile. Just make sure you stack boxes either like under windows or in front of closets, because like that's the places where furniture is not gonna go. So there's my movers tip for you. Or in
you're a real pro.
In closets, ideally. Or everything in the basement, or everything in the garage, or everything in a crawl space. Unless they have to use the garage to get through into the house, in which case, don't do that. Just use common sense. No one has common sense when they get moved.
I'm stacking all the stuff in front of the basement stairs.
Good idea.
And then telling them to put most of the stuff in the basement.
Make sure you don't paint before your movers leave, then.
Don't paint before they leave.
Don't wait to paint the house until after they leave, because they're going to gouge the shit out of your walls.
Oh, okay.
Make it hard on them. Sometimes we'd actually.
The first time you said that, you made it sound like you wanted to make sure that they stayed inside the house.
Oh, no.
Until you were done.
No, you don't want movers in your house. Trust me on that one.
Yeah.
Well, neat. I feel like after doing all that P90, Dolan, you should just be able to move everything by yourself.
That was one of her points.
I'm glad I'm on Barry's side.
There you go.
So it'll be fun.
Sounds like it.
The third time since October of 2011 that we've moved, so we ought to be pretty good at this. And we've used the same moving company now. This will be the third time.
Which moving company?
Called Two Men in a Truck.
Oh, ugh.
They've got those out here too.
Those guys suck.
Yeah.
We can afford them.
Yeah, that's true.
They did a good job. Our first move better than our second move. Moving up here from Illinois, they did a great job. We had two great movers. And the one guy could freaking lift anything. It was amazing. He was a walk-on. Which Illinois team did he play on? Because he saw one of my, he saw something I had, and he's like, no, you might. He played for, didn't play for Lou, he played for Lon Kruger. So he stood around and chatted with me, but the guy, he didn't look big, I mean, he was tall, but holy crap, he was just slinging stuff around the house. He's picking it up, and it's like, yeah, that's why you have this job. That you be from Illinois, so that's why you're...
I was going to say, just... God, I wanted to go to U of I so bad. Because my dad went to U of I, and like the stories he told were pretty good. So, but I went to Chico State.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that for someone from California would desperately want to go to U of I.
I'm from Illinois.
Well,
like I had spent a grand total of probably 5 weeks in California before I moved here when I was 21. I didn't know that. Yeah. No, I'd never spent more than just, you know, vacations to grandma's house kind of thing. My grandma lived in L.A., so.
Was she like a rum runner too?
No, but oddly enough, she was from Illinois.
I don't know why that was why that was odd.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird because my dad grew up in L.A., but his mom was born and grew up in Illinois, like probably, I don't know, about 90 miles south of Chicago, which is where my other grandparents were. So it was just weird that my parents wound up meeting, even though they grew up, you know, opposite ends of the country, and then found out that their parents grew up, you know, were right next to each other. So,
well, how did you end up at Chico State? You couldn't get into Nevada, Reno?
Actually, you know, UNR was outside of my budget. Yeah, no, Chico is the cheapest, and basically, it's free to go to college in California. You know, anyone out there, if you're having trouble paying for wherever you're going, just come out here and go to a CSU. As long as you've lived in the state for a year, you basically get a free ride if you don't have any money. And I didn't have any money.
Oh.
That's why it worked. My folks moved out here because of various and sundry family problems in Illinois. And then I was a deadbeat. And so I found out about the college thing. So I moved out here, lived here for a year, and then went to school. So, yeah. I mean, like I generally tell people, it's just a series of unfortunate decisions led me to where I am now.
not I mean, under 30 inches of snow.
It was snowing here actually earlier. Not exactly where I'm at, but in Chico, where I went to school, it was snowing there today. Mm.
Did they shut down the state?
I wouldn't doubt it. They're pretty bad there. I mean, here's the thing. And I meant to bring this up last time. You had tweeted something about, something you wrote about Oakland and claimed that there were, you know, beautiful starlets and stuff. Oakland is a shithole.
I did not say starlets. I just, I'm comparing California West Coast girls to Midwest girls. And I love you, Midwest girls. I love all of you dearly. But come on, tan, blonde, fake boobs.
Yeah, that's Southern California. Northern California is like the Deep South without the barbecue.
Ugh.
Northern California is a shithole, and that is where I live. So there's no such thing as a pretty Northern California girl.
I'm telling your wife.
She's from Canada.
She lives in Northern California. I don't care where they're from. Like, as long as they're
that was the thing. I had to import one from Canada.
I am going. I think I'm going to be in 2 weeks going to the Arizona State territory. So don't sell the West Coast girls short, even though that's not a coast.
Yeah, the coast of Arizona. Yeah, you've been watching Superman with Christopher Reeve.
Close enough. Times. Close enough.
Most Oakland girls look like Al Davis.
Not that far off. Yeah, I mean the Coliseum is a truly awful place. I mean, it's a concrete toilet bowl in the middle of a rail yard. So yeah, there's not a lot of the people that show up there are excited about being there. So. Although I shouldn't be too hard on, I mean, Oakland fans, the ones that sit in the bleachers where I sit, they are crazy rabid fans. Like all the Raiders fans show up, and they are very, very, very supportive of the A's. It's like you do not want to be rooting for the other team if you're sitting in the bleachers.
So they might literally be rabid.
They might. They could literally be, yes.
Sounds like I don't want to sit in that stadium, period. I've been there, though, a long time ago. Back in the McGuire-Canseco days.
The Bash Brothers.
Yep, Ricky was on that team. Dolan, you're about to pop off. I can tell. I can hear it coming.
He's not a Ricky fan?
No, his microphone's about to explode, I bet.
Oh.
It's like having a producer. You just warn me before it goes bad. It's what Jordan Bernfield used to do for Cap. Now he's his own little Twitter star.
And he has his own show.
Yeah, and it's as bad as his Twitter feed.
I haven't listened to it or really read his Twitter feed. I think I follow him, though.
I follow him.
You follow a lot of bad people, though.
Well, it's part of the enjoyment of Twitter.
Is it?
I follow 377 people. They can't all be good.
Oh, shit.
That's actually kind of less than I figured you'd follow.
I unfollow some people, and I also get banned a lot. So there are a lot of people who won't let me follow them.
Yeah. You must not be a completist as far as reading your Twitter feed. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that.
Yeah, I kind of treat it like a snapshot of what's going on.
Right.
I'm not going to be filing through it and going back.
Yeah.
Although it is how I get most of my news. I'll just grab the phone and go to Twitter and see what's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much... It's essentially how it wound up for me, yeah. That's what's weird about Twitter is that it is a completely different... I don't know, it was like just a whole new channel opened up, you know? Because it's not really a blog, it's not really news, it's just... I don't know, it's weird, it's its own thing.
It's Facebook for people you don't know.
There you go.
That's how I feel like it is. But it's definitely a better tool than Facebook.
Yeah, I don't really do much in the way of Facebooking. It's like I'll check it on my phone, I don't know, a couple of times a week. But all the people that I know that I would want to listen to what they have to say, all they do is tweet. And then the people that I know that are on Facebook, I don't really want to hear what they have to say anyway. So, hi, Mom. Yeah. So what else we got going on? What other, Andy, you had said we had an abortive segment there for briefly, which sounds terrible, but what else are they worried about? Because wasn't there a Twitter account, like Cubs fan, Facebook fans or something? Yes.
Somebody's putting a lot of work in. I was the first person that account followed. I feel very privileged.
Oh, well, and your Twitter account is their banner, I just realized. Like the background or whatever. I don't know what the header image that they have on this. Yeah.
Wait, what account?
Bastards, where is it?
Don't you follow Cubs Facebook? Facebook Cubs is the account. Yeah.
They go to the Cubs official Facebook thing and they pull off the word. Oh, yeah, there it is.
What a stupid ass name. Oh, yeah. Why do they? Weird. Well, congratulations, Dolan. You're the.
Oh, no, that's a. I see what they did. It's a lovely, loving tribute to me. The other day, I liked the Cubs Facebook account. TJ was there. Yeti, I think, was there. Somebody else, and we were joining in the Tony Campana. There were a lot of Cubs fans very upset about the Tony Campana thing, so we decided to jump in and also voice our displeasure at how they could give up on such a superstar. And so that's one of my takes.
Oh yeah,
they made their Twitter background.
I would also like to point out there was a dude on that. In that thread named Michael Bratt, Bratt.
That's right.
And he was saying some really stupid things about Tony Campana. So I had to jump on just to point out that it wasn't me. Because Dan, one of the guys that reads DeCipio, kept sending me all these quotes from this guy. And I was like, what the? I'm like, I never said that. I thought he's one of those types that like wants to like prove you wrong or like point out your typos type. So I'm like, wait a minute, this is not, who the hell, where is he getting these quotes from? He finally linked to the Facebook page where this Michael Bratz was just being like, I'd take Tony Campana being exciting over any of your Saber Moneyball. Like, it was just hilarious. Yeah, that thread was interesting. I'm so glad Tony Campana's gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to have nothing to hate next year's team.
That'll be weird.
I don't think that'll be a problem.
Come on. Name a guy.
Something.
Name a guy that you actively hate. I mean, I think for a lot of people, that's Alfonso Soriano. I've never hated Soriano. And he had a good year last year.
That doesn't make any sense anymore. He's not blocking anybody.
No.
So I don't care. If they find somebody to trade him to, that's fine. If they don't, I don't really care.
And even if he was blocking someone, that's not his fault. That's not his fault. Yeah. So
no, but I mean, I wouldn't feel like they're in a need to trade him.
Right.
Unless there was somebody that he was stealing at bats from, and he's not. So
yeah.
Because they're going to have to pay most of his money anyway, regardless.
Yeah. I can't think of a guy. Maybe Brett Jackson, if he makes the team, will be the guy to hate. But I don't think, how can you hate a guy that's that? Yeah, how can you hate that guy?
Like, I don't think Jackson's hateable necessarily.
Darwin Barney,
you can't hate Darwin.
No,
Barney.
He's bad, but I don't.
You can hate the people that put him on a pedestal, but I mean, Darwin's not. No, it's not his fault.
Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people put him on a pedestal, unlike DeRosa. Like, I think people, like, he's gritty and blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's not as much, like, stupid meatball Barney-ism as there is as there was Tony Campana-ism.
That's because he's got a little bit too much of a tan.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Cub fans think he's a lot better than he is.
Oh, no doubt. But I mean,
the fact that he and Campana got the biggest ovations at the convention is ridiculous. Yeah.
No doubt. But I wouldn't mind him being a 25th player on this roster, whereas Tony Campana should have never been on a major league roster.
Yeah, well, he did. No, I mean, Campana is not a starting second baseman unless he can get his on base average higher than 350, or Barney can get his OBP up over 350.
He did an interview because he was, of course, the first player in camp. But he did an interview where he was basically talking about how he knows that at some point, either Baez or Junior Lake or somebody is going to take his job because they're better than he is. He's much as said it. He's like, I'm just trying to establish myself as a big leaguer so that I always have a place to play. And he meant that the Cubs are going to end up with a better second baseman and I'm going to go play somewhere else. He's already got it figured out.
Good for him. Like, he always seemed like an intelligent, well-spoken guy in his interviews, although his voice is annoying. But good for him to know his place.
I think he'd be more valuable as a shortstop. Mm-hmm. On a team that really needs a shortstop. Because I think his bat plays better at short than it does at second. Oh, how about this ridiculousness? The Brewers, you know, Matt Gammel blew out his knee again. He's going to miss this season now. He missed all
the
last.
I saw that. Even though it's a Brewers guy, I feel bad.
But get this. They're working out because also Midget Face has had knee surgery, so he can't play first base. They're working Alex Gonzalez, Seabass, not the former Cub. They're working Alex Gonzalez out at first base. Why would you do that? The only value that guy has at all is that he's a great defensive shortstop. He can't hit. He's useless. You can't play him at any position on the field other than shortstop and not just be completely wasting at bats and money. But that's who they're probably going to have to start the season with at first base.
That's hilarious.
I could see them finishing behind the Cubs. I mean, they're reeling. They don't have a whole lot going on.
Oh, I think Theo and Jed are going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Alex Gonzalez looks like a cartoon turtle, by the way.
That's why he's the sea bass.
Huh. Yeah. Come on, what the hell's the one actress that the online people refer to her as the sad turtle?
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How sad is that? That I knew it immediately you even said the sad turtle. I knew exactly who you were going with.
Yeah, yeah, and I could picture her face. It's like, yep, that's a sad turtle.
Well, you guys, as of the next podcast, we're going to have actual baseball games to talk about.
I know, right? It's crazy. It'll be that, wasn't it? I think Len had tweeted out something else.
Yeah, I loved his tweet. Saturday. He goes, "This is the last Saturday without baseball for the next 7 or 8 months." which we can't, you can't narrow it down to a month as to when that's gonna.
I think he was inferring Cubs baseball.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't have bothered with the or eight.
Yeah, no, neither would I.
Are you going to watch the World Baseball Classic this year?
I am, because I actually like it.
Yeah, I
because it's,
I wasn't that into it the first time.
Training,
yeah,
baseball.
I think I'm going to kind of enjoy it this year too. I wasn't that into it the last time. Last year.
When the Netherlands team beat the Dominican, that was awesome.
Well, isn't the Netherlands team like half Dominican players?
No, they're they get
well, you get Aruba and whatnot.
Yeah, and Curacao. Curacao's enough to stock most of their team.
Yeah.
That's a Dutch Antille, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I'm pretty sure it's... I mean, the Netherlands...
They get that big Rick Vanden Hook, or whatever his name is, the guy who's like 8 feet tall.
He pitched
and Randall Simon played first base for him.
Randall.
That was enough to have me root for him.
Oh yeah,
he was Valbuena before Valbuena was Valbuena.
He was Valbuena, but competent and clutch.
If not for Game 6, Randall Simon would have hit one of the most important. It still was, but it's forgotten. One of the most important home runs in Cub history.
Yeah,
he hit a huge one in Game. Must have been 3, right?
Or 4? Didn't he also hit one against the Braves? Didn't he?
He was awesome.
Good job, guys. Yeah. We made it like 50 minutes before bringing up fucking 2003.
Yeah.
Well done.
Get into it because I don't want to, but you know, I watched Game 5 from the 84 NLCS.
Yeah.
It was
horrible. What happened?
The Cubs won. They went to the World Series.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why America has denied that fact, but It was worse than I thought it was going to be, and I knew it was going to be bad. I was depressed afterwards. This game that was 29 years old and how I knew how it ended. It's just
how I
mismanaged that game was. I wanted to go hunt down Jim Fry and do horrible things to him. And Leon Durham.
Make him coach.
I remember the one that went through his legs, but that's just the tip of the iceberg of what the shit that guy did in that game. Unbelievable. Anyway, so I don't want to talk to him.
Is it just me? So I watched the Sandberg game, you know, what, like 6 months ago now. Is it just me, or is it looking at 1980s baseball players, is it kind of weird comparing them to modern day players with the conditioning that they, well, you know, and chemical, whatever?
They're super conditioned now.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, they're actual fat guys that used to play.
Yeah. I mean, I just the thing that struck me, I was looking at in the Sandberg game, you know, Tommy Herr was batting. And he had the same batting stance that, like, my uncle had when I was a kid, you know? And that's what the only thing he was missing was, like, the Bermuda shorts and the knee-high black socks.
Well, Sutcliffe, even then, had a belly. And it was hotter than hell that game. And for whatever reason, he insisted on wearing a blue sweatshirt under his uniform.
Well, it's easier to hide the...
He got...
You could
literally watch him, like, wilt. In the seventh inning, he was toast. It's like, oh, for Christ's sakes, you're an athlete. Aren't you supposed to be in some kind of shape? I guess oblong is a shape.
didn't we?
Bottom heavy pear shape is a shape. Yeah.
Didn't we talk about this 2 weeks ago?
I think we did.
God damn it.
I hadn't watched then. It couldn't
have. Yeah, you had. Or was that game 4?
No. Yeah, no, we were talking about, I mean, I think we were talking about game 5, but this is different because Andy actually watched the game.
Now I've watched it. All right, I want to talk about one thing that happened in the game.
Oh, I'm turning it off for a while.
No, this is good.
We've lost our one listener who is also a host.
In the bottom of the seventh, the Cubs completely blow the game. You know, they're up 3-0. They give up a couple of runs in the sixth, and then they completely blow the lead in the seventh. In the eighth, they actually rally and they get two on, and Sandberg's up. No, they get one on, Sandberg's up, he gets hit, and then Sarge comes up with a chance to tie the game. But the whole rally started. Do you remember Richie Hebner?
Former
Cub pincher.
The grave digger.
Bruce Gossage threw one inside on him, and it didn't hit him, and Richie pretended that it did, and they let him go to first base. He was A.J. Pruszynski before A.J. Pruszynski. So I'm watching the game thinking, if they had somehow come back and tied the game and then won it, he would be a legend. Because the ball didn't come within, it missed him by 6 inches. It's not like it almost ticked his thing. It was inside, and he kind of did the like the Rudy Stein thing from the Bad News Bears. He's like, oh, he's like, and the umpires had just come back. They'd been on strike, and literally until like an hour before the game, and the home plate ump wasn't paying any attention. He didn't remember. And he's like, sure, just go to first. And I'm watching the game, like, holy crap, he's starting a rally in the decisive game of the NLCS, and that ball didn't come anywhere near him. It was awesome.
All right. I was only tangentially listening to that. You definitely talked about that 2 weeks ago. So I just would like to point that out to all of our one listener. I apologize for Dolan being an old man and repeating himself.
In my day.
Warren doesn't remember it.
I don't remember a goddamn thing.
He was probably Googling something.
Yeah. No, I was playing letterpress as a friend.
Because I always talk about Rich.
You even made that same joke about him being A.J. Pruszynski before A.J. Pruszynski was A.J. Pruszynski.
Oh, I didn't talk about this. You read the write-up.
Oh, damn it. Okay. I read all your write-ups in your voice, so that explains it.
I hadn't talked about it. I did write about it, and I wrote the exact thing.
Well, you wrote like 10,000 words about it.
I wrote a lot, and I read every last word. This was a test. Yeah. I knew this was a test, Dolan, to see if anyone still reads your site, and it's me.
Did you watch the video I posted the next day of Steve Stone and
Leisure
special about the Cubs? Huh?
I couldn't because I can't stand Steve Stone.
Did you watch the Pope taking batting practice in a batting
club? I did. That was awesome.
Someone doesn't believe that's the Pope, though.
Yeah, my brother thinks it's...
If it is him, it's the most awesome thing ever, because here's the religious leader of the right hand of God. He's taking batting practice in a batting cage, and there's two cardinals, I guess, or whatever they are, Monsignors probably, just chatting with this guy who owns the batting cage company. They're talking like about the business of owning a batting cage.
And right.
He's just raking. He's in there with
that's the thing.
Crushing it in the background. It's like it's the greatest absurd thing ever. I could watch it for hours. I hope it really was him.
Oh, I hope it was. I don't want to find out if it wasn't.
I thought I read on some pretty reputable, because that went around the internet. Saw it on some pretty reputable sites that I think it is. I thought it was.
Yeah. I don't know. My brother had said that he had heard about some guy that actually like made money being a Pope John Paul impersonator or whatever around that time. So he was thinking that might have been who it was, but I don't know. I just want to believe, you know.
You're the Fox Mulder of popes in batting cages.
There you go.
Certainly looks like him.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like good old Carol. Probably played a lot of softball in Poland, I'll bet. And so he still had his stroke.
Yep.
Who had his stroke?
He had his stroke. He had a good swing. His softball stroke.
Okay, that made sense. Yeah, no, there's a pop on the line. So,
wasn't his name like Carol Wojcia? That the Pope's real name?
Yeah, something like that. Wojciechowski or something? I don't know.
Carol Wojciechowski. Steve Wojciechowski's dad.
There you go.
So, are we moving on to our popular media portion of our...
Oh, yeah. It seems like it's about that time.
All right. I don't have a Netflix pick of the week because I'm still watching House of Cards, which I really do like. I like it. I think it's good.
I started it. It's good so far.
But I finally watched Skyfall. And I told you I like it before I watched it. And I thought it was awesome. That was great. I knew I was going
to see it.
I confirmed my own prejudice that I really like.
There you go. Confirmation bias right here. Yeah, I just didn't like it. I didn't think it was particularly good. Yeah.
Clearly, you're an idiot because I really liked it.
I don't much like James Bond.
Like, well, there you go. That might have something to do with
yeah.
it. I didn't really like it until Daniel Craig became Bond. I like this Bond.
Yeah.
I like Brosnan. I liked Brosnan.
That Brosnan boy. Yeah, I don't know. I just, the character just doesn't do anything for me. I'm not that interested in a guy with wearing a tuxedo and shooting people. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm glad for you, Dolan. I'm glad for you.
Well, it's we also, Warren and I found out before you jumped on, Dolan, that we saw the same action movie in the past 2 weeks that is sort of Bond-esque, but like an American dumb Bond.
American really dumb.
We saw Die Hard 5.
Yes.
Did.
A Good Day to Die Hard that is getting like a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
It's definitely, it should definitely have double that, at least a 32%, because it's a Die Hard. I mean, it's dumb. Of course it's dumb. It's dumb.
Right.
It's not even like just dumb for a movie. It's dumb even for an action movie.
Yeah.
But like, there's some, I laughed a couple times. There's some kind of cool callbacks to not only, the older diehards, but like there's an elevator scene where everything sort of calms down and listening to Girl from Ipanema, which is, I think, isn't that what they played in Blues Brothers when they're going to pay off the whatever?
I believe it is.
And there was a great scene where him and his son are shooting out the some glass above the terrorists. It was kind of a callback to the first one where he has to walk on glass, but instead the glass is sort of raining down on him. And then there was a great, of course, that shows you how dumb the movie was. I was definitely like calling stuff just before it was happening. I thought it was, this isn't going to spoil anything because, you know, Die Hard wins.
Way you could spoil it. You can't spoil this movie. There's no plot. Right. How are you going to spoil a plot twist?
So there's a great, the very end scene when they're trying to kill him with a helicopter and they crash into the side of this building. He and his son just leap out. And I don't know if you noticed, Warren, but Bruce Willis is just flipping the bird as he's flying. Like, it was a cool. It made me laugh. It was like a silhouette, and you know, it's everything. Of course, is in slow motion. And as he and his son are jumping and escaping this girl trying to kill him with a helicopter, he's just flipping the bird right through the canopy. I thought it was so. And of course, he says "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker," and it was silly and dumb, but it was a good kind of silly and dumb, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time in the theater. Yeah. I saw it, you know, on the matinee or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I went alone because I couldn't have dragged my wife to it anyway, even though she was working. So yeah, I mean, I had a good time with it. Here's the thing that I have a problem with, though, is that it's like all of the other Die Hard movies, even Die Hard 2, which it was, prior to this was the weakest, I thought.
Me too.
Even that one, they had good supporting characters, supporting actors, and at least made an attempt at a convoluted plot. You know, at a complex plot. I guess it winds up being convoluted at least in a couple of them. In this one, there's literally no plot. I mean, it is about as straightforward as you could go, and there weren't really any supporting characters that, I mean, I guess the son kind of, but he's kind of a generic, you know, I mean, he's not really any different from Chris Pine. He's not really any different
he is different because he's Australian. Why do they need an Australian? I guess he's on Spartacus, the new Spartacus now. So that must be why he got this gig, but
I guess, yeah. I mean, he actually was pretty good in Jack Reacher as the bad guy,
but
he didn't have hardly a speaking scene. I mean, he really didn't speak in that. He was just like, he was the right hand man of the main bad guy.
There's some silly moments, and like there's Bruce Willis's, like in Die Hard with a Vengeance, when he kept running around saying he had a headache. This time he kept running around saying he was on vacation. It was kind of it was like Dante from Clerks saying, "I'm not even supposed to be here," or whatever.
Right,
But it was you know, with Bruce Willis still being Bruce Willis, the guy can still get around for 85 years old or whatever he is. He's
57. That's what the one in interview I read said. Yeah.
It was certainly less painful to watch Bruce Willis run around than it's going to be to watch Harrison Ford run around in Episode 7 of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty bad.
It'd be awful.
Yeah.
So I saw that. I give it an okay.
Yeah. Well, the very next day, I actually watched Die Hard 4, streaming or whatever, off of Amazon. Because I hadn't seen it since it came out in the theater, and when it came out in the theater, I was like, it was all right. It should have been rated R. It was they really defanged it or whatever.
Yeah.
Rewatching it though, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I did not remember it being quite as good as it was. It was actually quite really enjoyable, and I don't know if it was just because I was comparing it to the Die Hard 5 I had just seen, but I actually liked it quite a bit. So if any of you out there are Die Hard fans and you haven't seen Die Hard 4 in a while, give it another shot. I actually liked it quite a bit more.
Yeah, I thought 4 was okay. Justin Long was tolerable, and the girl was hot.
Was there Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Yeah, I was thinking Q, or Mary Q.
Oh, Maggie Q, Q. She's pretty hot.
And the Russian girl in this one, I guess she's a former model, was... wearing, she had legs that were fantastic, to say the least. She was very attractive.
Legs that wouldn't quit.
They wouldn't quit. She had some gams. She had some gams on her.
Went all the way to the floor.
Yep. I saw some other stuff too. Dolan, I did start watching House of Cards on your recommendation, and the only thing I will disagree with you on is I think Kate Mara is pretty cute.
Yeah.
I don't know what it she's. I mean, of course she's well built, but I think she's pretty cute. She just has that girl next story. She'll probably turn out to be like Sandra Bullock though, and I can't get into her anymore. But I think Kate Mara's pretty cute. But it seems good, and I'm not a Spacey fan at all. I feel like he would be such a dick to hang out. I don't think he's playing. I don't think he's playing smug in all of his movies. I think he just is smug. And I just don't like him, but this is the perfect role for that. So, and you're right, Robin Wright, I guess now she's
dump Robin the pen. Wright. She did.
She's tired looking, but she's playing. I've only seen like an episode and a half, and she's playing it very well. I also streamed. I streamed a movie called Primer, which is an indie film about these guys that accidentally make a time machine. And for an indie film, it was okay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it was all right. Okay. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it. They did. I mean, they made it on a dime. I mean, yeah. I think the movie cost less than $10,000.
I'm sure it was okay.
I thought they did a good job with what they had to work with. Yeah.
On disc, I watched Dread.
Did you know, and I just found this out, that, before you go for any further, Kate Mara is actually older sister of Rooney Mara. Yeah. I did not know that.
There's a little bit of resemblance, mostly in the...
Not really. Not really.
Mostly the butt. When Rooney Mara cleans herself up, she... A little bit.
Would their grandpa be Beef Mara?
Mm.
Huh?
No.
Beef Castle. Beef Mara.
Anyway, I saw Dread also. Go on.
So, yeah, Dread. I'm
looking up the Mara family tree here while you guys are talking.
I never saw... Go ahead. No one knows when you're not here anyhow. I never saw the original Judge Dread.
I am the law.
Yeah, with Rob Schneider and I... Now, Warren, have you seen the original Judge Dread?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Armand Asante and Sly.
Yeah.
Right?
Was it as super violent as Dread was?
No.
Because I was blown away. Like, I'm not easily shocked, but I definitely cringed multiple times during, and I was only half watching it because of...
Well, the concrete eye view of someone jumping off a 100-story building.
What the hell? Like, it was bad. It was definitely worse than A Good Day to Die Hard. Well, it was actually probably tighter made, but whatever.
I was going to say it was a better movie.
Yeah.
I probably had more fun with
Die Hard. Me too.
Just because it was Die Hard.
For sure.
But,
Judge Dredd was... And Lena, how they made Lena Headley or Headley?
Heady? Or I don't know. Who are you talking
about?
The
chick from 300 and Sarah Connor Chronicles. The hot brunette. How they managed to make that woman look ugly is impressive. Because they did.
Hedy. Wow, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't even realize that was her.
Huh. Like, yeah, because she looked terrible. And I did not realize who Carl Urban was until I looked him up after the movie and realized he was the guy from Lord of the Rings.
Right. He also Doom. Don't cut him short.
I never thought of it.
I actually like him in shit like this. But,
I like the, he seems like a good actor. And then I'll give you an actual good recommendation now. Streaming, there is a movie. And now I know you guys, I think had both seen, I shouldn't say I know you, I think both of you guys had seen The Cabin in the Woods, right?
Yep.
No, I had not.
Okay.
I need to, hundreds of people have recommended it to me. I just have
see it. To it. So Dolan, I can talk to you directly on this. You know how Cabin in the Woods, it was a great.
I mean, I know all of the everything's been spoiled for me already. So just
still watch it though. It was a great, Dolan, you know how it was just a great sort of twist, like a flip on the head of it, kind of what the original Scream had done, where it was like, hey, we're going to sort of break the fourth wall on horror movies. There is a, I don't know if you guys have watched it, it's streaming on Netflix right now, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
God, I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. It's Alan Tudyk, the guy from Firefly and Serenity. And who else was in it? The guy who the Pittsburgh Steelers fan who wanders into Zach and Miri to make a porno and he's drunk and talking about Chuck It Fuck It football. Well, whatever. That's the only thing I recognize that guy from. And then there's one other person that you would all know. Oh, shoot. I forget. But anyhow.
I'm trying to think who the girl was because she's hot.
Oh yeah, the girl from 30 Rock. Yeah, the girl. Thank you, Katrina Bowden.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The girl from 30 Rock. Yeah, yeah. Great little flip on horror movies. It's basically these two guys. I'm not going to spoil anything beyond this, but basically, Alan Tudyk.
Whatever. Yeah. No idea.
Who I love. Like I love that guy and everything he's been in. He's just. I want to like have a beer with that guy.
Play the pirate in Dodgeball, right?
I've never actually seen Dodgeball.
What? Oh, you got to see Dodgeball.
I feel like I missed that window of opportunity.
You would like Dodgeball if only for Jason Bateman as the Dodgeball analyst.
I did hear that. I think I've actually watched that on YouTube.
Him and Gary Cole are the
Gary Cole, Chicago Zone.
And the Steelers guy from Zach and Mary make a porno. Just big, fat, bearded guy. They're rednecks, and they it kind of starts to set up as like a sort of not Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but like these city frat kids go to the woods and then get murdered by rednecks, and then it completely flips on its heel, and I had so much fun with it. Like it wasn't as good as The Cabin in the Woods. But it was definitely funnier, and it was great. I thought it was great. It was bloody. It was fun. There were cute girls in it. It was cool. I liked it. Dolan, what'd you think of it?
That was pretty good.
Great. Dynamite drop in, Dolan.
That's why that broadcasting school is really paying off.
So that's what I got. That's what I've been watching.
Yeah, the only thing I can add to that is that I saw Side Effects. Or After Effects. Yeah, Side Effects. The supposedly, purportedly, the last Steven Soderbergh movie. It's really good. I would recommend it. It's an impossible movie to talk about. Because you just should. You should just really see it and not expect anything. And then just.
You won't be disappointed.
But, is that why?
Yeah, exactly. Then just experience what happens next.
Is this why you've got Rooney Mara on the brain?
Yeah. No, that's like when you said Kate Mara, I couldn't picture who she was, so I looked her up and then just wondered if she was in any way related to Rooney Mara. And yes, she's her older sister. Or Rooney's the younger sister.
What's the one? Has this come out yet? What's the one with? What's the one that looks like it's going to be a good horror movie that I keep seeing previews for, and it's not Kevin Bacon, but it's someone Kevin Bacon-y. Oh, damn it.
Is it Kevin Bacobit?
No, it's...
Oh, is it the Kerry Russell?
Yes, Dark Skies. Is that it?
Sounds
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Dark Skies, Dark Skies.
Yes.
But actually, that might not be the one I'm thinking of. But that actually looks good, and...
Let's see what else is in it. Kevin Bacon-y in it.
No.
Josh Hamilton? He's not Kevin Bacon-y. J.K. Simmons is in it.
Nope.
Oh, I love J.K. Simmons.
Coming soon. Is it Stoker? Phantom? No. Damn it. Okay, somebody talk about something else.
So I finally finished Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, did you finally realize that you missed the whole thing when you went into Mexico?
Yeah, no. God, that might be the best game I've ever played. I really liked that. That was really good.
That's definitely.
I just finished it last night. I got a 98% done or whatever.
Now, did you play through like the epilogue?
Yeah.
I thought it was terrific. One of my favorites.
Yeah. It was a great game. So now I don't know what I'm going to play next, because I'm like, well, shoot. I don't want another like long-ass game. I just want, you know, something short, kind of a in-between before I pick up. I'm going to probably play Mass Effect 2 would probably be the next long game I'll play. But
so Mass Effect 2 is a good one to pick up.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to, because, I just finished Mass Effect 1 and then went directly into... Red Dead, so I kind of want something a little bit shorter in between. I might pick up like Halo Reach or Halo 4 or something. So something, or I'll probably wind up doing is buying another $10 game. So
yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, Dead Space 3 is the Amazon Gold Box deal today. If you want to,
I saw that it was $30. I was very tempted.
Forty.
Was it? Oh, it was 40.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good games out there that I haven't played for
cheaper.
That are going for $10, or 15 or whatever. So.
It's kind of what I figured.
Yeah, if you just let yourself fall 6 months behind, you never have to pay full price for a game.
I'm like 4 years.
Yeah, that was behind. Like 2 years at least.
Yeah.
Well, I was playing. What did I pick up? Oh, I picked back up because I've been co-oping this with. Our one listener, Lance, Dead Island, which is the one that was notorious for that very, very like moving zombie trailer with the girl that played in slow motion.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And a lot of people felt like they bait and switched because the game was not very much like that. But I don't know what people were expecting. But it is a very, very, very fun game. I mean, it's RPG-ish. I don't know. It's good. And if you switch the controls from just pulling the right trigger to swing your weapons to they have analog controls for it where you can use the right stick to kind of control how you swing. It's a very melee game. You can use the right stick to kind of control how you swing your whatever melee blunt objects you're using to kill zombies. It's very fun. I'm enjoying it very much, but I've been playing also through Darksiders 2, which Darksiders 1 was sort of like everyone was calling it the spiritual successor to Zelda, like Zelda for grown-ups, which I feel like Zelda was for grown-ups. But and it's not. It's no Zelda. I played through the first Darksiders. It was fine. It was cute. It had little puzzle rooms and a lot more action than Zelda. But, it's not Zelda. Like, I think people forget how good Zelda was. But the second one seems fine. It's nice. Interesting. It's you play as Death, and you're trying to save War. Like, you're the horsemen of the apocalypse. You're all brothers, and you know, it has the standard kind of a little bit of platforming, a lot of action. It kind of feels like a Devil May Cry a little bit, too, because you got the heavy weapon, the light strike weapon, and then the guns, and you jump around and
kind of a Castlevania thing going on.
Yeah, and it's
Did Castlevania never really made a jump to the next generation?
It did actually, and the last maybe it's not the most recent one, but the one came out about a year or two ago, I think, on the 360 was supposed to actually be pretty good. Maybe Lords of the Shadow, something like that. It was actually supposed to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, the only Castlevania game I ever played, or games I think I played more than one, but were on Game Boy. Like, I never played a console one.
You know? Not so even for the original NES?
I never had an NES. Oh. I was a Sega kid.
Oh, one of those kids.
Genesis and whatnot. So, and prior to that, actually, I was an Atari kid, which didn't work out so well.
Atari kid for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, instead of making the jump from the 2600 to the NES, we went from the 2600 to the 7800, which I think, yeah. Yeah, exactly. When you realize there's only 5 games for it, then you're like, hey, Mom, can we get an NES? No, we just paid $250 for that. You know, it's like.
I might have you beat on that one, Warren, because I actually somewhere still own a Lynx. Lynx.
Nice.
Which was actually a very, very good handheld console. It was just never supported, really.
Well, Lynx, and I mean, I almost said the Jaguar was a good system. It was not.
I keep forgetting that the Jaguar actually ever came out.
When I was in college, or no, I guess it was right before I was in college, because I had like no money. I found a Jaguar, you know, brand new, unopened, for sale at a, I think it was a KB Toys.
Oh, God.
Like $20. I think it was $20, and it came with like 5 games or something, and I didn't have enough money on me to buy it. I wanted it so bad, even though that system, I think there were like 10 games total ever made for it, and only one of them was any good, and that was the Aliens versus Predator game. Yeah. Good times. So, yeah. Well, I guess that means it's probably time to end it, huh?
Dolan, are you playing anything?
No. Nope. Yeah. Waiting for the show comes out on the 5th.
Oh, are you going to get it?
Yep. I like the show.
I do too, but like I liked the show last year and the year before, and I feel like they haven't really done anything to justify getting it again.
Yeah, I don't have a
PS3. You'll have the Astros in the American League.
Yeah.
Have to get the whole,
that's the biggest update. I mean, I'm probably going to wind up getting baseball game
2K but, 2K13.
It's the only option I have, and I'm not gonna.
I know your other option is normal. Yeah,
they didn't even bother. They didn't decide to make it until like two months ago.
Yep, they had lost the license.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I might just play 2K12, call it good.
Wait a minute, I just remembered, it's the guy from Training Day, Ethan Hawke, is in some horror movie. Maybe it's on DVD.
Yeah, it sounds. I don't think Ethan Hawke's a.
Is it him and Julie Delphi, and they just walk around all day, and zombies try to attack him, and that'd be the natural.
I don't know.
Evolution of that series.
Sinister. It was last year. And I guess I just keep seeing previews for the DVD. Did anyone see this? It looks creepy.
I don't even think Ethan Hawke.
I'm not. Yeah, no. I don't really ever seek out.
All right, sorry.
Scary movies anyway, so
for those of you that were screaming into your headsets right now listening to this podcast, it's Sinister is what I was thinking of. You're welcome, everybody.
Ooh, Fred Thompson's in it.
What's that?
I love Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson is in it.
Yeah. Doesn't love Fred Thompson.
Please share Prince.
That's a nice callback to Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2, yeah.
That's right.
And Baby's Day Out.
Yeah. Which we were discussing before the podcast started.
Sure, we were. Yeah. Well, I think we've fulfilled our duties for the fortnight.
Sounds good.
Anybody have any parting shots? Mike, any last things you want to bestow? Any last pearls of wisdom you want to bestow upon our adoring audience?
Good luck to Tony Campana. May your days be longer than your pant legs.
I don't even know what that means.
I didn't either. That just sort of developed organically.
Yeah, it's like a virus. Andy, any final parting shots?
I'm just waiting for the Diamondbacks to assign him a number so I can get my Shirsey. It's going to be awesome.
And with that, we are going, and we are gone. Good job, guys. Good job.